"What I would like you to do," he said. But at that moment a bell tolled somewhere in the palace, and he immediately broke off from what he was saying. "Prayers," he said, putting down his quill. "You will come." It was not a question, but a command. "I have things to do," I said, waited a heartbeat. "Lord." He blinked at me in surprise, for he was not used to men opposing his wishes, especially when it came to saying prayers. But I kept a stubborn face, and he did not force the issue. There was the slap of sandaled feet on the paved path outside his chamber, and he dismissed us as he hurried to join the monks going to their service. A moment later the drone of a chant began, and Breeder and I abandoned the palace, going into the town, where we discovered a tavern that sold decent ale. I had been offered none by Alfred. The folk there were suspicious of us, partly because of the arm rings with their Danish runes, and partly because of our strange accents, mine from the north and Breeder's from the east. But a sliver of our silver was weighed and trusted, and the wary atmosphere subsided when Father Beocke came in, saw us, and raised his inky hands in welcome. "I have been searching high and low for you," he said. "Alfred wanted you." "He wanted to pray," I said. "He would have you eat with him." I drank some ale. "If I live to be 100, Father," I began. "I pray you live longer than that," Beocke said. "I pray you live as long as Methuselah." I wondered who that was. "If I live to be 100, I said again, "I hope never to eat with Alfred again." He shook his head sadly, but agreed to sit with us and take a pot of ale. He reached over and pulled at the leather thong, half hidden by my jerkin, and so revealed the hammer. He tutted. "You lied to me, Uhtred," he said sadly. "When you ran away from Father Willibald, we made inquiries. You were never a prisoner. You were treated as a son." "I was," I agreed. "But why did you not come to us then? Why did you stay with the Danes?" I smiled. "What would I have learned here?" I asked. He began to answer, but I stilled him. "You would have made me a scholar, Father," I said, "and the Danes made me a warrior, and you will need warriors when they come back." Beocke understood that, but he was still sad. He looked at Breeder. "And you, young lady? I hope you did not lie."
"I always tell the truth, Father," she said in a small voice. "Always."
"That is good," he said, then reached over again to hide my amulet. "Are you a Christian, Uhtred?" he asked. "You baptized me yourself, Father," I said evasively. "We will not defeat the Danes unless we hold the faith," he said earnestly, then smiled. "But will you do what Alfred wants?" "I don't know what he wants. He ran off to wear out his knees before he could tell me." "He wants you to serve on one of the ships he's building," he said. I just gaped at him. "We're building ships, Uhtred," Beocke went on enthusiastically. "Ships to fight the Danes. But our sailors are not fighters. They're, well, sailors. And they're fishermen, of course, and traders. But we need men who can teach them what the Danes do. Their ships raid our shore incessantly. Two ships come, three ships, sometimes more. They land, burn, kill, take slaves, and vanish. But with ships, we can fight them." He punched his withered left hand with his right and winced with the pain. "That's what Alfred wants." I glanced at Breeder, who gave a small shrug as if to say that she thought Beocke was telling the truth.